son is in jail. What call could be worse? At least the "your son has been killed" call suggests that your son was innocent, right? At least with that call, a mom can get in the car knowing that her attempt at parenting had been successful, that she hadn't wasted 17 years raising a son who would just get himself thrown in jail. Michael shook his head. He was a failure. He had failed his mom and dad. He had failed his friends. He had failed himself. As the clock ticked on, Michael remembered a game he used to play to ease his mind while he was waiting for his parents to pick him up after school or baseball practice. He would close his eyes and imagine what his mom or dad was doing at the very same time. He would think, "It's 3:30. Mom's getting off work. She's walking out of the office, down the sidewalk, across the parking lot, and to her car. Now she's unlocking the door, getting in, starting the car." He would imagine each and every detail of his parents' trip until one of them would pull up beside him and honk the horn, startling him out of his thoughts. The game had always helped to comfort him. Maybe it would at least distract him now. Out of desperation, he began to imagine what was happening back at his house. Mom's waking up Dad. His dad had been so exhausted lately, even more than usual. Just 2 nights ago, Michael had followed his dad up the stairs and was alarmed by the way his father had to stop at the top of the steps to catch his breath. A few years ago, the half-hour game of one-on-one didn't even faze him, but something had suddenly taken its toll on the man. Now Mom's breaking the news. They're getting dressed, walking to the car. Michael wondered what they had said to one another, or worse, if they had gotten ready in silence. His dad had always been a man of few words. He never said a whole lot. He never needed to. One look from his dad, and Michael knew he needed to straighten up his act. Boy, was he going to get that look tonight. Slam! This time, Michael barely even raised his head to look. But he sat up with a jolt when he saw two all-familiar figures coming through the door. His mom's plaid flannel pants and slip-on clogs told Michael she had barely taken the time to get dressed before running out the door. He could see that she had attempted to apply some makeup, but it had done nothing to hide her puffy, tear-streaked face. He felt another knot in his stomach. Michael couldn't stand to see his mom cry. He shifted his gaze to his dad, who met his eyes with a blank stare. It was nothing like the disciplinary look Michael had expected. It was a look of confusion, a "what in the world are you doing here" expression on his face as he stared back at his only son. Michael quickly averted his eyes down to his dad's shirt. He had missed a button, and the shirt was untucked. Nothing like the crisp, formal way he usually dressed. Michael knew his parents would be angry with him, but now he was afraid it was much more serious than that. As his parents spoke with the officer, Michael wondered what they would say to him. He could handle stern looks from his father and try to do better from his mother, but this? His dad seemed stunned. And his mother already looked as if she'd been crying for days. How would he face them? What would he say to them? How would he explain what had happened? It had been a little less than 2 hours since the crash, 2 hours that had felt like an eternity. But now that his parents were standing there looking at him, wanting to take him home, it seemed like he had just gotten here. Well, they probably didn't really want to take him home. And Michael wasn't really sure he wanted to go. But as soon as the tall steel bar swung open, he stood and moved toward his parents. They both turned without a word and walked toward the door. When they got to the car, Michael opened the door for his mom. He didn't receive the "thank you, kind sir," she usually offered with her worst British impression. Michael would usually roll his eyes at her, but now he wanted to hear.